Okay, Chodesh Tov. We are up to Os Mem Vav. It's in source number one, if you don't have the Sefer. If anyone wants to order the Sefer, by the way, Elliot Fuchs was kind enough to arrange for an order. So if we have a chaver who are interested in getting a copy of the Sefer, we can do that. If not, I'll supply it for you every day. Tzarech lishmor es ha-machshav ha-ma'od. Says Rabbi Nachman, a person needs to guard his machshava, his mind, his thoughts, ma'od, very much. Ki mimachshava yachol lihiyos nase davar chiyuni mamash. Because from one's thoughts, one can literally create a living being. Our minds have unbelievable creative power. We know we can create things with our hands. Do we believe we can create things with our speech? Do we believe we can create things with our thoughts? So Rabbi Nachman says you need to guard your mind, you need to train yourself. We'll see, God willing, on Monday, next week, when we get on to Os Mem Zayin, we'll see Rabbi Nachman teaches us the importance of being meditative and being able to train your mind to concentrate. But before we get to Mem Zayin, he tells us here in Mem Vav, you need to guard your thoughts very much. And you need to believe, you need to understand that your thoughts have a creative ability. Again, lios nase davar chiyuni mamash. To literally create something that's alive. To create a living being. So let's pause here for just 1 second. And let's turn for a second to source number 5. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, it's in the 4th parak of Avos, Ha'osa mitzvah achas, if a person does a single mitzvah, kona lo praklit echad, he acquires for himself praklit echad. What's a praklit? An attorney, a defense attorney. Va'over avera achas, and a person who does even a single sin, kona lo kategor echad. What's a kategor? A prosecutor. Now, who is this prosecutor and who is this defense attorney? What is this idea? Does it mean that I get a check or an X on my account in Shemayim? What does it mean that I'm konelo praklit echad? Who is this defense attorney and who is this prosecutor? There's a Gemara in Makos on Daf Yudam and Beis that says that the path that a person wants to walk in this world is the path that will be led upon. It's a very important Gemara in teaching us the power of our ratzon. If you want something in life, if you really want it, you're going to get it. And if you don't really want it, you're not going to get it. So there are some people who say, we learned a couple years ago, we were learning the Piyaz Etzer Rebbe's Tzav Viziros. So Piyaz Etzer Rebbe says, some people say, if you ask them, do you want to be a tzaddik? Yeah, I want to be a tzaddik. Yeah, but do you want to be a tzaddik? Or are you okay with the possibility you'll just be a regular guy? Because if you're not really interested in becoming a tzaddik, it doesn't just happen on its own. But if you really want it, if you make that a goal for your life, you can make that your reality. So the Gemara says, Makos Dav Yoram Ed Beis, the path that a person wants to walk, B'derech She'adam Rotza Leilich, Molichen Oso, they will lead six. B'derech She'adam Rotza Leilich Molichen Oso. The Marsha on the back of the Gemara, Makos Dav Yoram Ed Beis, asks the following question. I don't understand. Who's Molichen Oso? They will lead him. Who's the they? Should say, he will lead him, God will lead him, Hashem will lead him. Ayin b'zeb mafarshim. The Marsha says, I'm not the first one to raise this question, try to explore this Gemara. Ve'ene gam ani chalki, I want to say my piece. Delo ka'amar shem molicho so HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Read the Gemara carefully. Says the Marsha, it does not say that he will be led by Hashem, that God will lead him. That's not what it says. Ella molichin, plural, molichin also. They will lead him. Who? Who's the they? Who's this group that's guiding him? Molichin also. They will guide him. They will lead him. For who alpi mashakasavnu bakam bakomos. But the Marsha says it can be explained very simply based on what I've told you elsewhere. Shekol machshava dibor umasa ha'adam hinehu borei lo malach. For every thought, speech, and action of a person, an angel is being created. That's what it means in Pirkei Avos, when it says that if you do a mitzvah, you get a defense attorney. Who is this defense attorney? Who's this defense attorney? Who's gonna defend you? Or who's gonna, God forbid, prosecute against you? It's the very malach that you created through what? Through your thoughts and your words and your actions. So says Rabbi Nachman, you need to guard your mind and understand that your mind has creative abilities. Not just that it can come up with interesting ideas, but it can literally create things. It can literally create things. And therefore, the malachim that you create are going to guide you in this world. So if you make good choices, very similar to what it says in Pirkei Avos, mitzvah goreres mitzvah. Why does one mitzvah lead to another mitzvah? Why does one mitzvah lead to another mitzvah? The answer is simple. Because when I do a mitzvah, I create a malach, and now I have a friend to go with me, to cheer me on. Why is avera goreres avera? Why does one sin lead to another sin? Because now I have a bad chevra, I have a posse of bad malachim, this is my entourage who I'm rolling through the world with, molichin or so, and what happens? I'm hanging out with the wrong crowd, it's going to lead to more negative behavior. So we have to believe, we have to understand that every mitzvah that we do, and every thought that we have, and every word that we speak, and every action, it's not only what you can see with your physical eyes. There are deep things that are taking place, way, way beneath the surface. So says the Marsha, therefore it says, the path that a person wants to go in, that God has given us free will, we have the ability to choose what we want to do with our lives. You create your reality. The angels that are created from your desires, from your thoughts, and all the more so from your speech and your actions. But again, today we're emphasizing the most, the part of ourselves that seems to be the most, the least substantive. My mind, when I speak, at least, there are vibrations that can be measured. There's sound waves that are being processed. You can hear what you can't hear what I'm thinking. So we think thoughts are like this, closeted away area that they don't actually make a difference. Lamaisa. It's not true. Rabbi Nachman's saying your mind has creative abilities to shape reality. In a very, he says, a davar chiyuni mamish, in a very real and tangible way. Yes, Shmuel Tzvi.
It's very hard. It's very hard. It's impossible to control your initial thoughts.
That's true. Okay, so we'll have to see on Monday when he talks about how a person can work on becoming more meditative and more focused and learn to concentrate in a world like ours where there's so many distractions. But you're right, Inachanami. Initially, it is very difficult to control one's thoughts. And the truth is, on some level, we're given a free pass. On some level, I want to be very careful about this. On our thoughts. On the one hand, we're arguing today that our thoughts are the most important part of ourselves. The fact that it's less tangible makes it more spiritual, makes it even more significant. On the other hand, because of the challenge of controlling one's thoughts, Chazal tell us that Hashem doesn't always count our thoughts. Let me show you what I mean by that. Turn to source number 7. Okay, let's learn a Torah from the Baba Varebi Zatzal. The Kedushat Sion, Rabbi Sion Halberstam. He died al Kiddush Hashem. And in the second volume of the Kedusha Sion on Moadim, second volume of the set, the first volume is on the Torah, the second volume is on Moadim, and in the back there's some just collected ideas that he has. So he explains in the back there, it's a beautiful vart. Hodekai malon asei dochalos asa. Okay, let's get a new understanding of a major principle in halacha, a shas concept, asei dochalos asa. Someone tell me, what is the concept of asei docha los asei? And give me an example of asei docha los asei. Okay, how so?
When you're wearing tzitzit, you can wear shatnez.
Okay, good. The Torah says you shouldn't wear shatnez. That's why my suit has a little thing here. Shatnez free garment, T-neck shatnez lab. Okay, anyone need the number?
Yeah,
201-245-5836. Got it?
There's
201.
Yeah.
245-5836. Okay, get your clothing checked
paid
for shatnez. What?
Paid advertising?
No, it's free advertising. Free advertising. Okay? So you need to not wear shatnez. But the Torah also says, gedilim tasalucha, make for yourself tzitzis. So why are those two things placed next to each other? So it says, Ori, based on Chazal, we learn from here, it must be, that there's a mitzvah saseh of tzitzis can override the prohibition of shatnez. You're not allowed to wear linen and wool. However, when it comes to tzitzis, the mitzvah of tzitzis will override the prohibition of wearing linen and wool. And the tzitzis can, in fact, be linen and wool. Okay? There are other areas, many areas in halacha, where a mitzvah saseh has the ability to overpower a lo saseh. Now, you could say all sorts of strange things if you don't apply the principle correctly, right? So, I'm learning Gemara while eating a cheeseburger, so the mitzvah of learning Gemara allows me to eat the cheeseburger. No, obviously not. Okay? But when there's a direct conflict, we believe that the power of the mitzvah asay is greater, is stronger, and overrides the los asay. That's called asay docha los asay. The positive commandment overpowers the negative commandment. Why is that so? What is the basic logic in terms of Jewish thought as to why that's true? It's a Ramban, famous Ramban on Chumash. How does the Ramban explain why asay docha los asay? What emotion or what type of relationship am I expressing in my connection to Hashem when I do a mitzvah saseh? Active, okay. Maybe it's an active versus a passive type of thing. Okay, desire. Good thought. What?
Desire,
okay.
Love.
Love. Ava. The Ramban writes that all mitzvahs saseh are rooted in the love of God. And all mitzvahs lo saseh, all the don't do's, are rooted in the fear or the awe of God, right? Avas Hashem versus Yiras Hashem. So says the Ramban, it's very simple. Which is a greater koach? Avas Hashem or Yiras? Which is a higher level? The Ramban, when he tells us about the levels of the gradations of connection to Hashem, Yira is a lower level than Ava. Yiras Hashem is a lower level than Avas Hashem. Some people think they have Avas Hashem, right? But they don't really know what true love is. But if you don't have Yiras Hashem, you can't really make it to Avas Hashem. If you don't have awe of God, if you don't respect God, you can't really love Him. You could say you love Him. But there's a baseline of Yiras Hashem, a deep respect for the Creator of the world. And then if I respect Hashem in a deep way, I form a relationship with Him, I can even come to love God. It's a higher level. So since mitzvot asay are rooted in the love of Hashem, and mitzvot lo asay are rooted in Yiras Hashem, and Ava is greater than Yira, so says the Ramban, asay dochalos asay. Positive commandments can override negative commandments because love is a stronger, more powerful connection and emotion than fear or awe. That's how the Ramban in Chumash explains asay dochalos asay. Says the Bava Varebi, I'll say another pshat. Ula yesh lomar, he says in the second line, hatam al pi madisa begemara kedush. Source number 7, have a look inside, in the third line. The Gemara in Kedushin says, Machshava tova HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa lemaisa, u'machshava ra ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa lemaisa. Exactly how this works, there's a lot to talk about. But for the sake of simplicity, let's just translate the words. Machshava tova, a good thought, mitzarfa HaKadosh Baruch Hu lemaisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu attaches it to the action. Which means when you do a mitzvah, you get credit what? For the meditation upon, maybe I should do that mitzvah, thinking about doing the mitzvah. So you get points for that. And then when you actually do it, you get points for that. What happens if you don't carry it out? What happens if you don't act upon it? Right? Well, you still got at least a good thought of a mitzvah. Right? So Hashem, when you have positive thoughts and positive actions, you almost get double points. You get credit for positive thoughts, for thinking I want to do a mitzvah, and then you get more points for actually doing the mitzvah. Says the Gemara in Kedushin, however, machshava ra ein mitzarfa lemaisa. When you do an avera, and you thought about doing it for a while, right? Hashem is not going to penalize you. And again, I'm a little bit oversimplifying this principle, but for the sake of simplicity, Hashem will not penalize you for the negative thoughts and the negative action. You'll just get the big X for the negative action. Hashem's not going to say, I know you've been thinking about doing this avera for a couple of years now. Hashem's not going to hold you accountable for all the premeditated, thoughts that led up to this avera. So says the Kedusha Sion, says the Baba Varebi, So the same way the Ramban said that Ava is stronger than Yira, and that's why I say Dochalosa say, but Rebbe says, I'll say a different pshat. Every mitzvah is really a double mitzvah. Because every time you do a mitzvah, look what he writes. Hinei ha'odim ba'asoso eiz a mitzvah yesh lo machshava t'chila shechoshev b'libo lasos a mitzvah. When a person does a mitzvah, he first thinks to himself about doing that mitzvah. He contemplates that mitzvah. Nimsa dekesha'osa ha'mitzvah b'poel. So when he does the mitzvah b'poel, what does b'poel mean? Actively, when he actualizes that thought and does it, harehu ki'ilu asa shtei mitzvos. He gets double credit. God says, I'm happy that you thought about it. I'm happy that this was something that was passing through your mind. And I'm happy that you brought it down to your limbs and you actually did it. Hamachshava v'hamaisa. You get 2 points. You get machshava credit, you get maisa credit. Lo kein misha osa aveira. He says in the top of the left column, not so for a person who does a sin. Afal pisha sof masav machshava tchila. Even though the action, of course, was also contemplated. You didn't just do the action. You thought about how you're going to do it, when you're going to do it. Should I do it? But Hashem does not attach the wicked intent to the wicked action. Will the fiza move on me'elav? So then we understand full well. Hatam sha'asei dochalos ha'asei. So why does a positive commandment override a negative commandment? Because it says the Baba Rebbe, every positive commandment, every mitzvah sa'asei, is really a double mitzvah. And a lo sa'asei, it is what it is. You did the avera, so you got the strike against you for the action. But Hashem in His kindness is willing in some way to overlook the negative thought. Now that seems to be the opposite of everything we're trying to learn today. Which is that your thoughts matter. And we learned the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. You do an Avera, you get a prosecutor against you. And the Marsha said that's true for every Machshava, Dibur, and Masa. But I'm just trying to point out to be empathetic to ourselves and to respond to a very honest thing that Sam said, which is, it's hard to control our thoughts. It's easier for me to control my body and my actions. It's hard for me to reel in my mind, which is sometimes racing all over the place. Okay, and we have to work on that. But you could see from this Maimar Chazal that there is a certain, again, we have to learn this Gemara really better in Kedushin Daf Mem, but there is some type of leeway that Hashem doesn't take your thoughts as seriously as your actions in a negative sense. And if you have positive thoughts, God will give you credit more readily for that. Okay? So there's what to talk about there. The many tzaddikim will also ask the question. Sometimes, like at the weirdest time, bad thoughts pop into your head. You can be in the middle of Shemona Esrei, and you're like Yom Kippur, and like all of a sudden my mind is getting into weird things. Like, what is that? Why sometimes when I'm engaged in a holy activity, all of a sudden my mind goes into a weird place? So the Berditchever and many other tzaddikim, the Zera Kodesh, the Rapshitzer, many of the tzaddikim explained that's part of the cleansing process. That thought comes to that place at that time, and then by hopefully pushing out that thought, you've sort of speak corrected that negative thought. But sometimes, when it's like least appropriate, sometimes a negative thought will, an old memory will pop back into your mind. But that's part of the tshuva process that's taking place. Okay, so let's go back to Rabbi Nachman now. Says Rabbi Nachman, again, we're in the second line. He said in the first line that a person needs to guard his thoughts. You need to understand that your thoughts literally have a ability to create a living thing. Now this is very cool. This next explanation of Rabbi Nachman is something that Rabbi Nachman does a lot. And if I had to pick another tzaddik who does this, says like really interesting, points out really interesting things about Olam Haza, about just the way that things are in the world. It's for Pinchas of Koritz. Pinchas Koritz was one of the early Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, only met the Baal Shem Tov a couple of times. But he also has tremendous deep insights into just nature, into things in the natural world. So Rabbi Nachman points out something here that's such a sharp observation. He says, V'da shechol b'china shigavo l'male yoser etzel la'adam, hi yechol lahagil lahasig yoser. The higher up something is in the body of man, the farther it reaches. What does that mean? Kamo Lamashal, he explains. Look how God programmed our bodies. Look at this mussar, this lesson we could take from our own bodies. Im haregel yecholin lahashlich eza davar lamala. With your foot, you could kick something, right? Some distance. Aval im hayad, unless you're like a professional punter, right? But for most people, you can probably go farther with your hand than you can with your foot in terms of moving an object. Your hand is higher on the body than your foot. Aval im hayad yecholin lahashlich lamali oser. If I can kick something, you know, if I can kick a ball only so high with my foot, I could throw a ball much higher with my hand. My dibor, my speech, which is even higher up in the body, can go even farther. I can communicate with someone, right, from one mountaintop to another mountaintop, much farther than I can throw a ball across that open, you know, expanse. V'adibor yechol lahasig v'lagia yoser v'yoser. With my speech, I can actually travel even greater distances. So that means speech must be even loftier, even more elevated. Vashmi, on my ability to hear from a great distance, is even greater than my ability to speak. My voice may only be so loud. I may only be able to, you know, communicate to such a distance. But I can hear things even farther away. I can hear things that take place even farther away. Maybe natural sounds in the world, right? Or even sounds that are produced in the world. He gives an example. If you hear the sound of a cannon, gunfire, a gunshot, right? An explosion. You could hear it maybe even farther than you could transmit a sound with your own voice. You could be on a battlefield. You could hear the sounds of gunshots or cannonballs, in Rabbi Nachman's example, from very far away. And my sight. I can see the sun. That's very far away. I can see the moon. I can see stars. So look how we're moving up the body. My foot only has a limited reach. My hands have a greater reach. My speech can go further. My ears can go even further. My eyes can go even further. I can look at the heavens with my eyes. Says Rabbi Nachman, whatever is more elevated physically within the body, it has a greater grasp and a greater ability. And therefore, my brain, my mind, my intellect, my thoughts, says Rabbi Nachman, v'amachshava, hi gavoa ma'od l'malam, and akol, my mind is the highest of all. So as much as we said a moment ago, a nice shot from the Baba Varebi, based on the Gemara in Kiddushin, that Hashem doesn't consider the negative thoughts in relation to the action, I'll tell you another Gemara. Yoma daf chav tesamad aleph. Yoma chav tesamad aleph says, hir hurei avera kashim e'avera. Thoughts of sin are worse than the sin itself. And now we understand a little bit why. Because when Hashem was putting together the magnificent Bria called Adam, a human being, who walks erect on two legs, not like an animal, right? The tzaddikim explained, look at an animal, the head of an animal is equal to the rest of its body. Hashem programmed us, there's a top and there's a bottom. There's a feet, there's hands, there's speech, there's ears, there's eyes, all the way up to the mind. So therefore the mind, which is the highest, is not only physically the highest, but spiritually, and in terms of its capabilities, it's the biggest, it's the most powerful. Yechol lahasig ulagia lamala lamala. The mind can go the farthest. Which is why with your mind you could travel places much farther than you can even see. You could travel to places that hardly exist, or places you imagine beyond this world. Hakein srichin l'shamra ma'od. And therefore, a person needs to guard the mind very much. What an amazing insight, just to think, to look at the human body in such a way, and to recognize the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built us is an awesome thing. It's an amazing insight. Yes, Shmuel Tzvi.
Based on what you said about the bright children, you know
that
when you're in Musaf or Tefillah and the song comes in, and it's kind of, this is like your chance of Shuvah.
Right, to like work through that thought.
I think it could be maybe what Rabbi Nachman is saying, what Sadiqim are saying, is just how you react to the initial thought.
Right.
It's just very hard. Thoughts just come and go.
Right.
You have no idea where it comes from. And if you like,
sure.
You have control.
Do I push it away, or do I let it linger?
Leave it, or to
Right. It's the same thing with a person's walking down the street. The Torah said you have to guard your eyes. Yeah? Shouldn't look at women in a way that, is of desire. So you're walking down the street and you walk past a beautiful woman. So I have to walk down the street with my eyes closed. Okay, there were tzaddikim who hardly went outside and didn't walk down the street and certainly didn't go to the mall, right? Okay. But the way that many explain is that there's a difference between seeing something and the way that the prohibition is described in Halacha Svar as what? Histaklus. Histaklus. To meditate upon, right? To be locked in. One rabbi once said, the first look is free, the second one you have to pay for. You're walking down the street, you see a beautiful woman, you're attracted to her, okay. Lo sasur achavchem, right? Lo sasur, like the meraglim, who went latura sa'arat, to seek out the land, to spy out the land. That means you're like paying attention to every detail. So lo sasur achrei levavchem v'achrei einechem, don't stray after your eyes, means don't continue to look in a way that's lewd and inappropriate. That's not what Hashem wants a Jew to do with his eyes. You don't have to walk around with your eyes closed, right? So the same thing here. When a thought pops into your mind, which is beyond my control, do I have to continue to think about it, to fantasize about that idea, or do I say, that's really not what belongs in the mind of a Jewish person? My neshama doesn't feel comfortable in the presence of such a thing. Your neshama is very much in your mind. Your neshama is in your mind. In the paragraph that you say before you put on tefillin, in many siddurim, it says, as I strap my tefillin shalrosh to my head, shaneshama shebamochi, my neshama which is in my brain. There's different parts of the soul. Some parts are in your heart, some parts are in your ear. Neshama is in your mind. Okay, so yes, 100%. There's a difference between seeing and staring. Right, it comes up in halacha also by Kiddush Levana. Chazal say, if you stare at the moon, it causes you to forget things. I don't know what that's about, that's what Chazal say. So by Kiddush Levana, you're supposed to look at the moon. So the Magen Avraham says, right, before you recite Kiddush Levana, the bracha on the new moon every month, you're supposed to glance at the moon, but you're not supposed to stare at the moon. The difference between looking and staring. Okay, so that's an important, same thing here. There's a difference between, having a fleeting thought and really thinking a lot about an idea that is not good for a Jew to think about. There's a great little story that's, my brother first told it to me, Rav Davidov. Shared with me. It's in a book called it was reproduced in an English book, a collection of Torahs from the Ben Ish Chai, called The Challenge of Wealth and Poverty. It was a book that came out in 1996. The collection of Torahs from the Ben Ish Chai. So it tells a story in there. I don't know where my brother first saw it. I'd first heard the story from him. The Ben Ish Chai, when he was a little boy, the great Sfardi Chacham, rabbi in Baghdad. So the Ben Ish Chai, as a young boy, he was making, it was one Motzei Shabbos, and his father was making Avdalah. And his sister and he got into a machlokas, who should be allowed to hold the candle. They both wanted to hold the candle as little children. So the father said, okay, whoever can show a greater understanding of Havdalah gets to hold the candle. Whoever understands the mitzvah of Havdalah better gets to hold the candle. So the Ben Ish Chai is a little boy. I think he may have been younger than his sister. Very young age. He says to his father, Alex, I want to explain Havdalah. So he says, okay. Let's hear. What do you understand about Havdalah? And he said the following amazing chiddush. And it fits beautifully with what we're learning today. The Ben Ish Chai said, look at the brachos of Havdalah. Look how Havdalah ascends from the lowest to the highest. First, you make the bracha of what? Hagafen. The bracha on Hagafen, right, is for the wine which you drink with your mouth. Then you make the bracha of what? Besamim, which you smell with your nose. Then you make the bracha of borei ma'orei ha'esh, the fire, which you see with your eyes. And then lastly, you say what? Hamavdil ben kodesh l'chol. I have the intellect, I have the wisdom, I have the understanding to distinguish between holy and mundane. And the Ben Ish Chai said also in terms of the sensory experience, drinking the wine is much more physical. Smelling the besamim, at least the besamim, you can hold in your hand, they're tangible. The fire, you can't even touch, it's so spiritual. Till finally you come to Amadl Ben Kodesh L'cho, which is just a thought. It's an expression of a very nuanced difference. Bin Yisrael La'amim, Ben Kodesh L'cho, Bin Yom HaShvi L'Shesh Shmei HaMasa. No, what do you think his sister said? You win. You got to hold the candle. You got to hold the candle. But it's the same idea, right? You see that there's it's amazing insight. And we go through Avdallah, right? We're recognizing, again, the different senses within man. But it's what Rabbi Nachman is saying here. If your mind is on top, at every Motzei Shabbos, I guess as we go back out into the world, we remind ourselves there's a hierarchy of myself. There's parts of myself which are the lower realms, but there's a part of myself that's the highest realm. And like Rabbi Nachman said, I need to guard it very much to make sure I use it in the right way. Because it can literally create things. It can literally create things. Here's a fascinating example in the Rishonim. Interesting machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban about certain scenes in the Torah. The Rambam was a rationalist. The Rambam was Kodesh Kedoshim. I have a shiur that I once put together about how the Rambam really was maybe secretly a Kabbalist. But Bederach HaPshat, the Ramban was not a Kabbalist at all. He was influenced by Greek philosophy. And he was a rationalist philosopher who tried to move more away from the mystical than towards the mystical. Okay? The Rambam feels that certain scenes in the Torah never really happened. When I say really happened, I mean like really happened in this world. So for example, the Rambam says, and this might be shocking to you, the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, the Guide for the Perplexed, the Rambam says that when Avram is visited by angels, beginning of Parshas Vayera, they never appeared. Angels don't come walking around the world. Or how about in Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov gets into a fight with Sarah Shal Esav, with that Malach? That never really happened. Now, is the Rambam uprooting passages of the Torah? No. The Rambam is saying all of these things happened in a state of Nevuah. Didn't physically happen in this world. Yaakov was having a very powerful dream about fighting against the Malach of Esav. And Avram was envisioning angels coming to visit his tent and to relay a message to him. It was all taking place in his mind. No? Go for it. Stone was not destroyed in the dream. Stone was destroyed. But in terms of his conversations and the meals that he fed to the angels, if they were angels, maybe they were Arabs, right? Okay. Stone was to ask another question. I thought you were going to do a different one. Yeah?
He also doesn't believe in magic, right?
Correct. So how does he learn all the Gemaras that talk about supernatural things? Okay? He learns them rationally. That's how. Yeah, there are the Rambam doesn't deny all miracles. Right? I mean, there's some things he has to accept as being pashut pshat. Kriyas Yamsuf, the sea split, but he's gonna try to minimize those as much as possible. Yeah, Adam.
So doesn't Sarah laugh?
Yeah, it's again a simple reading of the Torah. We want to believe what this is happening.
No, but if it is, then it goes back to what we were saying because it's all in thought.
Oh, so you're saying there's an emotional response to a thought.
Yeah,
so say an even stronger proof.
Akedas
Yitzchak, which that happened. They went up the mountain.
The angel stopped him.
The angel relayed to him in his mind. A vision. Ask me the strongest one. The Ramban goes at the Rambam and he says, hold on a second. If Yaakov fought the Malach in his mind, no? So why is he hurt? Why is he limping afterwards? Says the Ramban in source number 3. V'sefer Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam's Mor Nevuchim. Ne'amar, it says, ki aparsha klal uprat. It explains that the scene at the beginning of Vayera is klal and prat, general and specific. What does that mean? Amar akasuv tchila. At first it says, ki nira elav Hashem b'maras hanavua. Right? It says, Vayera elav Hashem. God appeared to Avram. So that's God talking to Avram in the Nevuah. And how exactly did that nevuah unfold? Well, part of the nevuah was ki nasa einav b'mara. Avram, so to speak, in his vision, lifted his eyes. V'hinei gimel anashim nitzavim alav, and he saw three people standing there. It was all part of the nevuah. The parsha begins. God appeared to Avram. That's in a vision, and then the story that takes place after is of the angels coming or the Arabs coming, and he's serving them food. That's also part of the vision. So says the Rambam, where? In the Mor Nevuchim, the Guide for the Perplexed, the Rambam's magnum opus of Jewish philosophy. Says the Ramban, what? Where it's bolded. V'chein amar be'inyan v'ya'avik ish imo. In the fight between Yaakov, a man struggled with him. Yaakov fought against a man which was really a malach. Says the Rambam, shakol mar hanavua. The whole thing was a vision. The whole thing took place in a dream of sorts, in a vision. V'lo yadati lama hayetzolei al yirecho b'hakitz. But says the Ramban, if that's true, so then why is he limping when he wakes up? Why is Yaakov limping? That's clear in the Torah. We don't eat the sciatic nerve, the gidha nasha, partially, I say partially because God gave us the Torah at our Sinai, that's the real reason we don't eat it. But it's also connected, obviously, to that scene in the Torah where Yaakov gets injured in the thigh. So why is he limping if it was just a vision? Says the Ramban, listen to these very harsh words. Ve'eile dvarim sosur makasuv, the words of the Rambam contradict the simple meaning of the pasuk. Osur lishomam, it's osur to listen to such an approach. Af ki lahamin bam, although more so to believe. The Ramban was a makubal. The Ramban has no problem with angels walking around, certainly not for Avram Avinu. There's no problem with Yaakov Avinu fighting against the Malach. So the Ramban says the Rambam has been influenced by foreign philosophies, same way the Vilna Gaon, in his Bir Hagra on Yeridea, writes very harsh words against the Rambam, that he was negatively influenced by non-Jewish philosophy. It's not what we believe. We do believe in the mystical dimension. And therefore the Ramban says it negates the Pasuk, and it's not permissible to believe such things. However, says Rav Dan Yitzchak Abarbanel, about 500 years ago, the Abarbanel comes along in source number 4, and he says, I'll defend the Rambam. And he says, very simple. He says, sometimes a person has a very intense dream, and that dream causes a physical response. He says, a person could be dreaming about a woman and become a Baal Keri, can have a seminal emission. A person could dream that he's falling off a building, and you see that he jumps in his sleep. All right? Well, if it's just a thought, so why is the body responding? Says the Abarbanel, where it's bolded in source number 4, Lachain, lo yiruchak. It's not distant at all. It's not impossible at all. Shebios Yaakov bechalom nevuasa. When Yaakov was having his intense dream in his fight against the Malach, roah esavskus hahu. He saw the battle taking place in his mind. Vishenaga b'kaf yirecho, and he saw the enemy strike at his thigh. Hispael kolkach tivo, it was such a powerful vision, such a powerful nevuah, dreamlike state. Umepnei haroshem sha'asabo dimyono, and because of the imprint of his imagination, of his mind, ba'oso chalom, sha'kelim ha'gufiyim nifku b'zeh, that he was literally limping when he woke up from that vision. And that's why he's limping on his thigh. Again, it wasn't just a regular dream could elicit a response in the body. All the more so a vision, such a vision, it makes sense that it would be possible for one to be transformed by such a vision. And Abarbanel says in the last couple of words, Hinei ein bazeh safek al Rav Hamora. And therefore, there's no doubts about the Rav who wrote the Mora Nevuchim, namely the Rambam. Yes, Donnie.
I don't want to sound light, but do they have the concept of like schizophrenia or any other like mental stuff, and someone tries to explain those stories like that? For instance, I recently watched a movie for a class where the main character like beats himself up and thinks
right.
Someone else. So, like, does anyone try explaining?
A Fight Club?
Yeah, Fight Club. Yeah.
You could say Fight Club. Not recommending people watch it, I'm just saying.
It was pretty interesting.
I heard, I had a student who once mentioned it to me. Read the plot on Wikipedia.
Don't talk about Fight Club.
Yeah, no, but it's true. There is, right. So I mean, there are some really nasty people out there who could take the whole Torah and say really bad things. You could try to make like the holiest people ever into just a bunch of, you know, nutcases with mental health issues. Right? So, okay. Obviously, you know, that's certainly not our tradition. But sure, there's people who have written, you know, articles and essays about, you know.
No, but not in like a negative saying like, oh, Yaakov had schizophrenia or whatever, but
right.
Just in that, is it possible that it could not have been like a dream, but it could have been like a reality that he was just imagining in the actual reality in this world?
Okay, again, the Nevuah is a complicated thing, which, you know, I don't know enough about. Yeah, could be. Could be. Fight Club, Inception. There's a lot to. Matrix. It's all the same Indian. No, there's some very tyridic ideas in some of these movies. But again, we're talking about big tzaddikim here. Okay? But again, what I like about this Abarbanel is it strikes a middle ground, right? Meaning it doesn't have to be that, you know, that it's just like a silly dream. It could be a very intense revelation of God that creates a physical response. Right? Yeah. According to the Rabbanel and the Ramban, and the Rambam, how did Lot get saved? Right. Who went there to actually save him? I don't know. Maybe he had a nevuah. Right. Lot had a nevuah. He's not such a tzaddik. How did he have a nevuah? So I don't know. And that's why the Ramban doesn't mince his words when he says ve'elid varm soster makosuv. It's against the simple reading of the Chumash. Why do you need to say that? Why do you need to make all these stories take place in some dream sequence or some alternate reality, like Donnie's saying? Why would I want to do that? I could. Barbadel's trying to explain, you know, there could be such a concept, but it's not recommended necessarily to go there, says the Ramban. And the Ramban believed in the deeper dimensions of Torah in a more literal fashion, having a Kabbalistic tradition. Okay. Yeah.
I don't understand. What would be the problem to say that our Avot have Nevuah and that this maybe,
I mean, once you hear the Abarbanel, what's the problem with the why is the Ramban so? Because again, the Ramban still thinks it just doesn't work well with the Pesukim. Right? Again, the more you think about it, the Rambam's not a crazy position. Vayere lav Hashem, God appears to Avram. Next thing you know, three angels appear to him. So why can't I say that that's part of the vision that God is revealing to him? But again, as you go on, the Ramban in many places. By the way, Bilam and his talking donkey. That's also it's in his head, according to the Rambam. So you see also a certain breakdown of like our belief in certain things in the Torah that I think is also part of what makes the Ramban a little uncomfortable here. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a little easier to understand where the Ramban comes from, like something that feels like Abraham and the Avos, like Bereisha, like where we just read, like all these shot is mystical. It's like not set of them. Like what else would that mean? Then?
Oh, listen, God exists. We're not going to say that God is like some concept. Hashem exists and Hashem communicates, right? But sometimes as part of that communication, Hashem will create a scene, will create an image, another conversation, a side conversation, right? That's how the Ramban starts. He says the Rambam explains these passages as klal and prat. The klal is God's talking. The prat is the actual story that's unfolding in his mind. But, okay. Yeah, Nata.
How was Sarah able to hear the malachim?
Right. Right, so that's Adam's. Why is Sarah laughing? Okay, Sarah also, I guess, is having the vision. I don't know. There's a part of it that makes me uncomfortable also, and I understand where the Ramban says this is not a good mahalich in terms of just explaining Pesukim. Okay, however, for the sake of time, I want to just wrap up. So let's take a look at the Nefesh HaChaim in source number 2, just to really solidify the words of Rabbeinu, of Rabbi Nachman. The Nefesh HaChaim writes in source number 2, Nefesh HaChaim is Rav Chaim of Volozhin, student of the Vilna Gaon. And he writes, V'zos Toras Ha'adam. Let me teach you about you. That's what today is about. It's about understanding our own powers and potential. Zos Toras Ha'adam. Kol Ish Yisrael. Every Jewish person, you need to know this. Al Yomar Belibo Chas V'Shalom. Do not say to yourself, do not convince yourself otherwise. Ki Ma Ani Uma Kochi Lif'ol B'Ma'asai. Hashveilim shum inyan ba'olam. Who am I that my actions should count so much? Why should I believe that the things I do actually matter? Now he starts off with things that I do. So he says, Amnam, don't say such a thing. Yavin v'yeda v'yikva machshavos libo, you need to take it to heart. Shekol prate ma'asav diburav u'machshevosav, underlined. The opposite order of the Marsha said it, but same three domains. Action, speech, and thought. Every single action or thought of a Jew, kol eis varega, at every second of your day, of your life. Lo is avidu chas v'shalom. Does not get lost, does not in vain. It matters. The moves you make matter. Rabbi Nachman talks about the Jew sits and just sits there twirling his payas. The heavenly realms are spinning. As he twirls his pace, the ulamos are spinning. You have to realize you're a miniature universe. And God is paying very close attention to your every thought, speech, and action, even if no one else can hear what you're thinking. And how wondrous and how great are man's abilities. Shekol achas ola kafi sharsha, that every move you make ascends to its higher supernal root. Lif'ol pu'ulasa begivhei meromim, and it affects things in the outer spheres. We have no idea how connected we are through these invisible wires to the higher realms. But olamos v'tzachzuchus ha'oros ha'elyonim, to all sorts of spiritually refined universes. Im kein ba'es asher yatur ha'adam lachshov b'levavos, when my mind begins to wander and to stray, machshava lo tahora b'niyof rachman alitzlan, if I have a lewd thought, an immoral thought, God forbid, harei hu machnis zona, it's like a person who takes a prostitute in his mind. Semel hakina, babes kodshe hakadoshim ha'elyon, your mind is your kodesh kadoshim. That's what he's saying. Your mind is the holiest part of you. Just like there's a kodesh kadoshim in the base of Mikdash, there's a kodesh kadoshim within man. That's your mind. Your mind is your most holy, most spiritually connected part of yourself. And therefore, when a person allows his mind to meditate upon lewd thoughts, it's like taking a prostitute into the Kodesh Kadasha. Now you'll say, wait a minute, there was someone who actually did that in this world. You're right. Says the Nefesh HaChaim, you're right. Titus HaRasha, when he wanted to be Mezalzel and make a mockery of the Beis HaMikdash, B'Shas HaChorban, at the time of Chorban Beis HaMikdash, Titus HaRasha took a Zona and was intimate with her in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh Kadasha. A repulsive act. Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, and I'm sorry this is heavy, but we need to know the truth. Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, when you think about lewd thoughts, you're worse than Titus HaRasha. Because Titus HaRasha only took the prostitute into the Kodesh Kadashim Lamata. When you enter the inner recesses of your mind, which are connected to the highest realms, you're entering into the Kodesh Kadashim Lamata. You're entering into the highest Beis HaMikdash. And that's a big deal. He says three lines from the end. V'chein kol chet asher kol ish Yisrael machnis b'libo. Chas v'shalom. Eish zara, when you allow a foreign fire to be offered, when you allow your emotions to stray, when you allow your actions to stray, when you allow your thoughts to stray, when a Jew talks in a way that it's not refined for a Jew to talk. Bekas, or shari taivos, when you get anger, when you get angry, when you allow anger, that eish zara, that foreign fire, when you feel heated for an avera, and you allow that into your being. Taivos raos, rachman alitzlan. Halahu mamish ke'inin akosov. It's literally like the pasuk says. Again, mamash. These tzaddikim don't throw their words around lightly. When they say mamash, they mean mamash. Mamash means literally. It's literally like the pasuk. Beis kodshenu v'tifarteinu asher hilucha avoseinu hayil l'sreifas esh. When you allow a fire, a foreign fire, by getting angry, which is compared to fire, or inflaming your yetzer hara, you're literally like burning down the Beis HaMikdash. It's literally like you're taking the place of God's presence in this world and you're destroying it. And you're worse than Titus HaRasha, who took a prostitute, an Isha Zona, into the Kodesh Kadash. If he took the Isha into the Kodesh Kadash in Lamata, and you take the Isha Zona into the Kodesh Kadash in Lamata. It's very heavy. But again, it should be mechazek us to want to be in control of ourselves and to want to control our minds. I want to end with the words of Rav Shlomo Freifeld, Zatzal, one of my superheroes. Rav Freifeld, there's a volume of his shmuz and his drushos called In Search of Greatness. It's an English volume. And in the final source, listen to this. Go out and ask all the people in New York City what life is all about. I guarantee you that most of them will say it's all about having a few bucks and getting a few kicks. Out of 8 million people, 7.5 million will say that the meaning of life is money and pleasure. Without a question and without a doubt. They live with the externality of the cosmos, and it is all an exercise in futility. Shlomo Melech's Hevel Havalim HaKol Hava. Why are you wasting your time running around trying just to make another dollar, to get another woman, to drink another beer? That's your whole existence. For a lot of people, that's their daily life in New York City. It's a life of futility. They live in despair and they die in despair, and their entire lives amount to nothing. It's all meaningless. I told you, I spent this past Shabbos in Midtown Manhattan. And I was looking at a guy, Arab Shabbos, as I was walking into the hotel. There was a guy outside, covered in tattoos. I'd say the guy was, I don't know, 28 years old. And I just thought to myself, I was like, what is the trajectory of your life? What are you going to look like when you're 40 years old? What are you going to be like when you're 70 years old? You know? Like, again, if you're going to like die in the next couple of years, then I guess, like, okay, you're doing your thing now and that's it. But, like, where are you going? Like, what are you doing? Where's your self-respect? Your whole body covered in ridiculous designs, as if you're going to be, like, 20 forever. Like, what are you doing? And eventually, it becomes a life of despair, and you die in despair, and the life doesn't add up to very much. I was literally looking at this guy thinking, like, what are they going to talk about at your funeral? That might be in 100 years from now. Like, what on earth are they going to say? You know? Again, he could be he's the nicest guy in the world. I'm sorry for sounding judgmental. Right? But based on, you know, all of the beautiful pictures he drew all over his body permanently, and the numerous piercings, and just his general demeanor, right? Again, he could be he's a big tzaddik, I don't know. But there's a reason the Torah says there's a respect you have to have for the body. From the foot to the hand, to the mouth, to the ears, to the eyes, up to the brain, like Rabbi Nachman told us. But in reality, there is a deeper meaning to life. Yes, wisdom gives strength to the wise man, says Rav Freifeld. Wisdom empowers him. It makes him powerful. It all depends, however, on his relationship to wisdom. The name of this piece is called Fuse Yourself with Wisdom. That's the title of this essay in the Sefer. Fuse yourself with wisdom. What does it mean to fuse yourself with wisdom? It means to be in control of your mind and to understand the sanctity of the mind. Who is an example of this? Concludes Rav Freifeld in the right-hand column. Avram's greatness was in his relationship to Chachma, which was so intense, so powerful, so honest, that he became fused with it. He was a master of the mind, Avram Avinu. When he perceived the great knowledge of the existence of the master of the universe, he didn't just say, well, I know this now. It's a nice thing, a nice thought, quite inspiring actually. Someday I'll think more about it. Someday I may even do something about it. Rav Freifeld in this essay, I should have put it in, it's a great paragraph. Rav Freifeld says, it's like a person standing at the Grand Canyon, drinking a can of Coke. Right? The hot day, they're standing at the Grand Canyon, they're looking at the Grand Canyon like, wow, you know, Ma Rabu Masecha Hashem. There must be a creator in the world, this is magnificent. And then they finish their can of Coke and they chuck it into the Grand Canyon. You're not connected. You're half getting it, but you're not really processing. Your mind is not. You're not fused with wisdom. So a person says, "It's a nice idea. Yeah, God's a nice idea. Maybe I'll actually do something about it one day. Maybe on my deathbed, I'll actually take it seriously. Someday, I may even do something about it." That kind of lackadaisical attitude has no place in Avram's scheme of things. That's not who Avram was. Wisdom gives strength. Avram's knowledge consumed him, and he achieved understanding. So, Mir Tzashem, we should all understand the power of our creative minds, the ability to create, mamish, chiyuni, davar chiyuni, mamish. Rabbi Nachman said, to take that kalach that Hashem has given us seriously. It's not easy to control our minds. Again, Monday we'll talk more about how a person can practice concentrating and meditating and getting your mind, you know, in shape. But Mir Tzashem, we should all at least understand the gift of the power of thought, and we should use it in a holy way. Okay, shkoyach. Stop here for today.